You are listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Jordan Bell. Here on Issues and Ideas, we like to showcase local writers. And just this month, the American Bar Association named local author Andy Greensfelder the winner of its 2015 Ross Short Story Contest. He is also a retired attorney and legal services volunteer. Welcome to Issues and Ideas, Andy.
Thank you, Jordan.
So when a lot of people think of the American Bar Association, I don't think many associate it with writing contests and things of that nature. Now, can you tell me a bit about this writing contest?
Sure. And I don't think of it that way either, even though now that I've been in this contest, I find they've changed. Mm-hmm. And the magazine is interesting now. Before, it had stories that about opaque issues of law that weren't interesting to me anyway. In any event, apparently they have this annual contest for a short story, for short stories. And the notice came out I saw it in June and decided to give it a try. I had a story actually that was in a way part of it was part of a first chapter in a novel that I've written but haven't worked on in 10 years. And so I worked on that chapter, turned it into a story.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the story.
The story is about a man in a Midwestern law firm, medium-sized, 100 lawyers say, who works in a high-rise office building, as many law firms are, as opposed to here in San Luis Obispo. And in addition to being a corporate attorney, he volunteers to do intakes for legal services. And he does those intakes at a food pantry that is sponsored by the archdiocese in this city. And so he goes to this food pantry a couple times a month and meets with people who have come there who have legal problems, finds out what the problems are, forwards those problems to the legal services office. In this particular situation, there was a social worker at this food pantry as well, and she asked him for help that a local bank was foreclosing on her home, even though she'd been paying the mortgage. They were renewing it every 2 years, and they decided to go ahead and not renew and foreclose instead. And so she wanted some help, and so that's how the story really begins.
Okay. Now, what are the parameters in a contest like this? Do a lot of people write about legal situations because of the overarching organization?
Right. The besides a 5,000-word limit, mm-hmm. the main parameter was to show the culture of lawyers and the law, practice the law in today's society. And so I tried to do that in a couple ways. One, many, many lawyers volunteer to do pro bono work, either at a legal services organization. We have like 14 or 15 volunteers of attorneys at senior legal services here, which is fabulous. It couldn't perform for the seniors of San Luis Obispo without that. Mm-hmm. Or they take in their law firms, they take pro bono cases. So that's part of the culture of law, and mm-hmm. I wish it were more. Without pro bono work, our legal system would only work for the wealthy.
Right.
So the other respect that I tried to show the culture of law was a corporate practice. Someone who is kind of stultified yeah. by having to be in this high-rise building subject to rules that have to do only with profitability as opposed to thinking of clients first. And In this high-rise building, the air is kind of thin because the windows are sealed. And, in fact, the story is called Sealed Windows.
I want to talk about your trip you took for this award for your short story. What was the trip like? What did you experience?
Right. The American Bar Association had two contests. The second one was for a novel, and it was sponsored by the ABA, but also in conjunction with the University of Alabama Law School. And it was called the Harper Lee Contest and Prize because it also was looking for some kind of legal experience, as was To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right.
And I was invited to Washington, D.C. to go to the Library of Congress to attend the award ceremony for the winner of the Harper Lee contest, who was a woman named Deborah Johnson, mm-hmm. who wrote a great book called The Secret of Magic. And I'd recommend that book, by the way. It goes back to a kind of lynching event that occurred after World War II to a serviceman who had won the Distinguished Service Award and was returning to his home in Mississippi. And then the rest of the story is about a young black attorney who worked for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, who traveled from New York down to Mississippi to investigate. So I got to be part of her award ceremony and part of an evening with her, people from the University of Alabama, the American Bar Association, and the Library of Congress, a real treat for me and Jeannie, who went with me.
And Jeannie is your wife, who is also a local author. She's a poet. Now, what is your creative process like? How do you begin?
I get an idea and go with it. And I just write. I've been writing for a number of years, and I've learned that what I'm writing will be terrible. But that's okay. Keep writing. And I've read works of other writers talking about their writing process, and this is not unusual.
Right.
Don't worry about your first draft. It's not the only approach. I have a friend here, Bill Blundell, who used to write for the Wall Street Journal daily. And he when he put a sentence down, it was correct. So there are different approaches.
Right.
So
right.
Get that first draft down on paper and then work with it. Often 9/10 of it will disappear.
Yeah. And, of course, you just have to do it. Now, with your career, how has being an attorney informed your writing, either stylistically or within perspective or content?
Very poorly for about 5 years.
Okay.
One of the things, a writer works often in isolation. So what I tried to do was be part of writers' groups, go to some courses. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and was living there when I started writing, so went to some courses at the local university. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon found that the kind of writing I was doing for fiction mirrored too much some of my legal writing, and that didn't work at all for fiction.
Okay, so how did you work through that?
through working at it primarily and reading books. I can remember one book, I think, by a man named Bickham, who wrote about how to do a scene and then have a sequel for the scene. And in the scene, there's dialogue or action with conflict. And out of conflict grows some oftentimes antagonism. If you think about some of the page turners, they have a lot of that. And then following the scene, there's some reflection, which oftentimes exhibits the emotion. When you're in the midst of the scene, you don't have the character think, that made me angry. But after, in the sequel, you might have him exhibit some anger in his thoughts.
Now, you wrote a short story for this contest. What other, you said that it would have been, the short story used for this contest would have been part of a greater novel. Now, are you working on any other novels, or are you, you know, what sort of writing do you like to do? Do you do poetry or anything else besides short stories?
Right. I do not do poetry.
Okay.
And even though I did write one poem to answer a poem that my wife Jeannie wrote about us, I loved writing fiction. I've always enjoyed reading fiction. And so I tried to learn how to write fiction. I haven't done a lot of that in the past 5 years. What I have been doing is writing stories about family, about my family. I won't call it a memoir. It doesn't say, here's my life, anything like mm-hmm. that. It's more, here's some things that happened mm-hmm. Involving my mother. That's a chapter. Involving my father, that's a chapter. Involving friends, that's a chapter. So I've enjoyed doing that. with this contest, it kind of got me back into writing fiction again, and I may go back and work at that.
Yeah. Now, I imagine that when you're writing short stories about your family or your friends, those are things you know, and then switching to fiction, do you find that challenging?
Not really.
No?
Because with fiction, you can let your imagination go. You kind of need an idea of where to go, even though one of the keys that writers write about is just sitting down and writing whatever comes to your mind for 10 minutes every morning. And out of that might pop an idea. So there you begin without anything and develop something. That's a possibility also. But usually I start with an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Now your wife is a local writer also. She's a poet.
Right.
Now, do you both help each other write in terms of maybe accountability or perhaps editing or feedback, things of that nature?
We do at least one reading of each other's work with throwing back ideas, so which is kind of nice. She sends me a poem. I throw ideas. She ignores a lot of them, but she takes a few. And it's her poem.
Yeah.
And her approach. And she's very good with stories that I send to her. We've learned we have to be honest. We've learned how to do that. She has a new book of poetry out called Marriage and Other Leaps of Faith. And she has some poems about being honest with each other.
Now, with your writing career, when did it all begin for your creative writing career?
Right. Back really 30 years ago in 1985, some of my clients had taken leaves of absence from their businesses, and I thought that sounded pretty good. And so actually took us a year to plan it, but Jeannie and I went away from St. Louis to Boulder, Colorado, and lived for 6 months, and we both did some writing there. So that's how it began.
That's very cool. Now, you alluded earlier to working with writers groups. Now, locally in San Luis Obispo, are you involved in any writers groups here or in the writing community? And what does that look like?
Right now, I go to some sessions of Night Writers, which is a great organization here in San Luis Obispo. For years, was part of the Cambria Writers Group. We lived in Cambria when we first moved here. So, but outside of out of the Cambria group grew a group of five or six writers who used to meet. Can't even remember now. We haven't done it for 3 or 4 years. But part of it is having some fun with other writers because, again, it's a solitary process. So if you're at all even a little bit extroverted, kind of nice to get out with some other writers.
Yeah.
Make fun of each other, that kind of thing.
Now, you said you started about 30 years ago writing, you know, creatively. What would you say has changed the most since 1985 to now?
Right. And let me, by the way, go back with a story about that.
Sure, absolutely.
I wrote what you'd probably call a novella, a short novel. And, of course, it was wonderful. We were out there in the mountains and hiking and going to the rec center at the University of Colorado and having all kinds of fantasies about, Pulitzer Prizes, if not Nobel Prizes. And so when I got back, a friend said to me, I have a friend who's visiting here for a while, and she's a publisher of what turns out to be one of the most prestigious publishers in the country, Algonquin Press of Chapel Hill. And so this woman, who both edits and is a publisher, agreed to sit down and read my novella. Mm. If I pulled that novella out now, it would be terribly embarrassing.
Okay.
But the point I wanted to make was, she was encouraging. She pointed out two or three things that she got out of it that she enjoyed reading and made some suggestions. And if she had said what she really thought of that bit of writing, I might never have done it again. So I guess the point is, if you want to write, don't be discouraged. Try to get some positive feedback. Know that it's going to take a while to develop. Mm-hmm. As to what's changed in writing, there's a huge amount that's changed in the publication business. You probably are aware, people are aware of that, but it's very hard to get a book published by an independent publisher who are looking primarily, because they feel they have to, they're looking primarily for moneymakers. It used to be that a publisher, especially of a small press, would make an investment in your writing by taking your first novel with hopes that you'd come along with many more. And one of our most prestigious writers in this community, Catherine Ryan Hyde, got started that way. And she came out with a couple books. My guess is even her first books have made some money, but she's now, I don't know, I think I last read written 28 novels. And because that publishing company invested in her, she has become a huge success. Now, she probably would have anyway, even in today's environment. And in fact, she publishes a lot of her books now through Amazon, I believe, where you can go online and buy them, off sometimes at promotional prices. But with her volume, that's worked out real well.
Very good. And where can we find some of your publications or even your short story that you were just awarded?
Well, that's a good question. First, I have published a novel. Mm-hmm. It's called Drop Dead Art, and it's a mystery. The corpse is found on page one, and it's a novel about a man who returns from vacation. He had been in Paris where he had a house swapped with another man. He comes home. He finds his house sitter dead in the front hall. And, of course, he calls the police, and there's investigation going on. And it's only at the end of the first chapter that he discovers that there really was no burglary except for one item, and that's a print that he bought for $3 of a Paul Klee painting. Mm-hmm. So why would anyone want to steal that? And so there are two mysteries. One is the murder and the other is the Paul Klee print. In any event, so that's another novel that I have put on Amazon that's can be bought online there. I've written a couple other novels that I haven't published. I may go back and try to do the same thing with one or two of them at this time. One's based on the story scene I set up with the short story. The other is about a volunteer with a family planning organization like Planned Parenthood who ends up having an affair with one of his co-volunteers. And as you might suspect with that background, she becomes pregnant. And even though they both believe in reproductive rights and the right to have an abortion, she refuses. So this becomes complicated, especially in his own marriage.
Andy Greensfelder is a local author, retired attorney, and legal services volunteer. Andy, thank you for your time today. I enjoyed speaking with you. And congratulations on your recent award.
Thank you, Jordan. I enjoyed it very much, too.
And for Issues and Ideas, I'm Jordan Fell.